Wait, we're going to play the song?
Yeah, play the song.
I need the cord.
Oh, I thought you didn't
bring your
iPad.
I was just
going to
play it off my phone.
Oh.
Do you not want to do that?
Okay, hold on one second. Let me, oh, shit, really?
Okay, forget it.
You can put it in post?
I can add the song in now.
Okay.
Is Tiny Tim right there? He's playing it right now, right?
Sure.
Tiny Tim, thanks a lot.
Every time you give a bullet point for the editing, it makes it harder.
So put Tiny Tim right wherever you want.
Okay.
Wherever.
Like right in the middle of the show?
What about at the end?
I mean, I just don't want to give
you.
Oh,
my God, shooting star. Nope, moth.
Oh, my God.
Moth.
Roof show, everybody. Roof show. I am Anderson. Why am I way louder than you, Mike? Does that bother you? Bothers me a little bit.
Yeah, well,
why are
you
not using headphones?
I'm not going to now.
Dude, I made a special trip down to my car just now.
Sorry.
How dumb is he?
You mean special trip? I'm special.
Hey. That's like almost as bad as triple fuckhole.
Special Olympics.
Come on. Doing a roof show here at the World Famous Improv. This is the After Disaster. Welcome, everybody, to the After Disaster. I'm Anderson, sitting on rooftop directly.
And I'm Mike Carano.
To my straightness is off. He's right around 1 o'clock from my POV is Mike Carano. And Tyler's there at around 10:30.
Yeah.
Surrounded by wires. And only some of them are from our setup. There's just a lot of wires strewn about the roof.
Yeah, kind of like we've all seen movies, right? Like that take place in like Brazil.
That sums it up.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel like a favela.
And it feels just bad times as far as technology goes.
No, it feels like stolen free times.
The amount of money that we spent on this club in the last, I'll say, 3 years is well over $1 million.
Mm. The three of us.
And well, the $3,000 table.
We still have bunches of wires running all over the roof. And look at the wires over there
I don't know
if
we should be... Should we
There's
be
a bundle of wires ones? That just goes into an open window because we never ran it in the wall.
Should we really be saying this when they're kind enough to support us on the roof, literally? Literally?
Yeah, you're right. It's a great
place.
We
have their implicit approval.
You guys, I'm looking forward to this podcast, and I feel like I've got plenty of energy, but I have...
We're going to get to it.
...talked nonstop...
Mm.
I know.
All day yesterday and for the last 4 hours here at a giant party.
I heard you yelling in the bar.
Single corporate.
You were very loud in the bar. Here's my favorite part of so far of the night. Mike was in the hallway. He was talking to somebody. He can't go 5 feet without seeing someone he knows and then having to stop and talk to
him. He's like trailing the popular kid at high school.
I don't get it.
You
stop and talk to every single person in the hallway.
Oh, yeah.
Every single person you bumped into.
Trailing the cool guy. I don't understand. Trailing the popular guy?
You're like following him around.
I talked to probably 80 people
you were
tonight.
He was like, so, and then I put my hand on him kind of aggressively, like, we're going this way. And Mike says to the guy that he was talking to, sorry, I have to go to work. And then started walking with me. And you know what? I really liked that. And I'm like, he's right. He does.
That's why he put on the suit.
We got to go
to
work.
Right.
It's time to go on the roof to go to work.
This is work. And it's fun work. We enjoy our job. We
love
what we do.
Work.
That's why we're so successful.
That's
why we're the number one rated podcast on iTunes.
We are the number one rated show called After Disaster. And I'm very proud of that.
Do you think we're the number one podcast recorded on a roof?
That's not
probably
good.
Not.
We're probably the number one.
Yeah,
most
that's probably a Game of Thrones podcast recorded on the roof. That's better.
Show that took place in Salton Sea.
Well, that's pretty good.
As well as the lowest point in North America, if not the world, the Dead Sea, wherever it was, the Badlands, whatever it was called.
It definitely wasn't the Dead Sea.
Yeah, it was out in Death Valley.
That was pretty amazing if you think about the fact that we recorded this show at the lowest point.
Yeah, we're kind of boasting about ourselves on this here show.
Yeah, it's the After Disaster.
That's pretty amazing. But you get an award.
The reason why it's work is because of our Patreon, and I just wanted to say I was doing some Patreon stuff today, and I was looking at the Patreon, and I was trying to figure things out. And I want to make sure that the Patreon people know that they are to be thanked and they're the ones that keep the show going, because I think we would be doing sparse episodes, way fewer episodes, and or just Mike and I, or, you know, we want to be committed to doing the three of us.
We'd have less gold chains.
We'd have way less bling.
I actually considered for a moment, this is sort of a confession. I didn't do anything wrong. But I thought I was feeling so guilty about us going like weeks between doing stuff for the Patreon people that I went, I'm going to go out and shoot an After Disaster video by myself right now for the Patreon people. And I thought,
really,
I can't. That's kind of
really
self-serving. Kind of douchey.
Well, no, I mean, if it's for our Patreon people.
It was.
It'd
I was like,
self-serving if you were doing it for yourself or like a different show that you do and doing Patreon over there. That'd be kind of self-serving.
I do that.
Mm.
I do Patreon for my
podcast. If you just did it for the After Disaster, I think anything you give the After Disaster would be fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Listen to me. The ICP
Destination
disaster
loner coming next week.
It's just
Lone
him
Wolf.
It's just him plugging his Patreon. Hey, good news, After Disaster Patreon audience, you're getting
it. You can just, with one click, you can transfer that over to Miscellaneous Adventures podcast.
I am having such a good time cutting together the ICP thing. I realize that it'll be 3 weeks come Friday, and I'm going to have it done before that, so it will be done very soon. I was shooting for 22 minutes. It's probably going to be closer to about 40,
Holy
45.
Holy smokes, really?
It's fun.
I want to watch it now.
I don't know if it's because I'm just in a weird place, and it's either that or the goddamn nursery.
Yeah, I want to watch it now.
But
I haven't watched any of the footage, so it's all going to be new to me.
I'm having a really hard time importing the slow motion stuff that we did, but I'm keeping it secret. Like, Tyler doesn't even know some of the stuff that we did for it. And I think it's entertaining. There's a lot of little nooks and crannies. I'm putting a lot of little bells and whistles here and there.
Maybe Scott knows how to do that.
I'll figure it out. I think that there's a way. But that should be up for all of our Patreon subscribers who are like $5 or more a month, right? Soon. That is the number.
I think it's $10 for Destination Disasters.
I believe it's fine. Whatever. Figure it out. And or for sale. And it's coming along.
Yeah,
like
that's going to be great. Then we gotta hit the road for the next one.
Yeah, we need to lock down a date for that.
Yeah, it's good. We already know what it is. And, okay. Yeah. Also, we need to thank Sergeant McAllister, who I will be seeing this weekend.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
Maybe you can get with me.
I can't tell you how guilty I feel about this whole thing.
It's kind of weird, though, because it's like a gift to him. It's his way of Patreoning. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you like were to just say, hey, take back.
I want to talk to him about this and find out if he does feel like regret.
I don't think he does.
No, he sent Anderson an email. He was like thrilled.
He sent a goddamn sweet email. For those of you who might not be up to speed, what's happening here is Sergeant McAllister, our longtime AD Vicer and part of the program, professional gambler. He left the Marines to go follow his dreams to become a professional gambler, I think because of the advice that Mike gave him. And he lives in Vegas.
Cha-ching.
And he's always trying to support the program with interesting bets that he offers up to us. And we have been like 0 for 4, 0 for 5.
Yeah, we haven't been great.
And I saw some changes made with the Penguins late December, and it took me a while. But by January 24th, I was looking at the spread, and I saw that they're 30-1 after I already saw their trajectory. And I had a good feeling. I knew they were still a long shot, but because they were out of the playoffs. But I'm like, you know what? 30-1, that's ridiculous. So I said, he was offering a $400 bet for us. And I said, why don't you put $100 on Stanley Cup?
We should have gotten four.
Now greed is kicking in. Like, God damn, we should have got 1,000. Should have got 1,000. 10,000 each.
So it hit, and soon after they clinched it and won the cup, which was glorious, I cried again on Sunday night. He sent me a great email saying that it was very satisfying to him. You read the email.
Yeah.
For him to go back to the Pink Flamingo and cash in. He said it was the only one other time has this happened where like the guy at the sports book had to go get his boss, like essentially the pit boss at the sports book, and double check, and they didn't really believe the slip that he had because it was such a long shot. And then he sent us a picture of the money.
For those of you who are frequenting Instagram, you see those spam accounts that are like, make $10,000 a day, da, 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 and they post all these photos of money like on laid out on their bed. Yeah. That's what the photo looks like.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say you did that. I was like, that's kind of cheesy.
No.
Mm-hmm. I do like that picture though.
So I'm feeling.
But if you want to make $1,000 a week, just reach out to me.
What?
I just left the After Disaster. I mean, the Film Vault just now.
Yeah.
Right. Came over here, and I felt regret driving over here because you know we never get to everything. I'm talking about like 9-10 movies over there, and I'm always battling the bald one.
So you're bringing
this
show
week,
onto this show.
I was battling myself. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we didn't bring up Orlando at all, and I don't think that people tune into shows to. I mean,
to
that's everywhere.
Terrible,
anyways,
terrible tragic.
But
news.
It should at least be, you know, I think mentioned like as though we don't like live in a fucking vacuum.
Even though we disregarded the tsunami that one time.
Well, that was that one time
that
we didn't know
though,
we were.
That was late breaking news. Like as we were on air,
we were into the After Disaster.
It's just weird. It was weird in retrospect thinking this horrific thing was taking place and it was on every channel worldwide and we're in there going, oh, pass the Jack Daniels, hey, where's the eggnog?
Yeah. We were bringing joy to people.
But we were bringing the tsunami of comedy.
The problem was they listened to it after the fact. Uh-huh. So it sounded like, you know, the world's in chaos.
What's worse is like when there is a big mass shooting and like the Film Vault is doing top five weapon arsenals, and it just happens to land. That happened.
Yeah,
that happened a few weeks ago.
Absolutely.
A few months ago.
I've seen that happen on other shows as well.
This week, we didn't talk about it. We didn't even mention it, which we're doing over here, but I was thinking about it on the way over, and then I'm like, oh no. And I used the word gay because we were talking about Harry and the Hendersons.
Mm. Yeah.
And he was talking about when he made the siren sound. I'm like, yeah, but that was kind of gay.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't, use that word very often, but I did, and the timing of it's just awful, and I don't want to hurt people. You know what I mean?
I'm absolutely with you. I have a newfound sensitivity.
No, fuck that. Not newfound. I've always had it.
With my sister getting killed, my tune has changed in my heart. Like, there's things I would have been making jokes about the kid getting eaten by the alligator left and right, and then I'm like, I can think about the parents.
I did one today, but I felt like it was okay because I'm a kid.
Imagine the horror you feel as a parent when an alligator grabs your kid.
Imagine the kid.
The kid is probably dead in seconds, but the parents have to live with that.
They said the thing dragged. Oh, I don't want to get into the dark.
And they probably had a 3-day pass.
What was that alligator doing?
It said a Disney gator attack, kid dragged into whatever it said. And I retweeted and said, seems like a pretty desperate attempt by Disney to reboot Peter Pan.
Oh, that was funny, actually.
Thanks.
Yeah, Peter Pan.
As the second I sent it, I felt bad, but then coworkers started liking it right away, and I was like, this is my new brand. Super edgy.
It's like after the fact peer pressure.
I had a circumstance that was similar to how we regret using the word gay.
I love the word gay. And the problem was I was using it around my camp friends over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I love using the word gay around them because it offends them even more a lot of the time, but they're like, it's just Anderson.
Yeah.
So I broke it up big over the weekend. So it was kind of
so still lingering.
Trying to put the genie back in the bottle.
It was one of the few times I put my foot in my mouth yesterday. I was doing corporate
one
headshots.
One of the few times. We're going to get to what you were doing yesterday.
They're very serious, these corporate headshots, and it was an 8-hour job, 1,200 pictures. And the third person I photographed, frankly, I have a crush on her.
Mm-hmm.
She's a lesbian.
How'd you get this gig?
I got hired. Okay, this girl
is... Did you tell her you have a Subaru?
This girl is odd looking. She's not stereotypically good looking.
She works in the corporate world.
She looks like a kid. She looks like she's like 19.
You shouldn't be saying this.
And I went, what's your job here? And she goes...
I thought you like moms.
I'm the lawyer. She goes, I'm the attorney. And I was like,
you're attorney me on.
Wait, is this...
And, what?
Yeah, she does not come... Nope. I don't understand it, Michael.
She's beautiful.
No, she's covered that is not beautiful.
She's covered in chest tattoos. She's a total punk rocker riot chick, but she's an attorney, and she's gay. And I don't know if she's gay 100%, but when I said, hey, you guys want to hear about the gayest thing I ever did?
Oh.
Everyone, their eyes just went boing, like, no, no. And I still said it.
Was it kissing a dick?
And I saw her tonight, and she didn't even say hi to me.
Oh.
Because of the gay comment, you
No,
think?
I don't know. I think she's a super brilliant young attorney and doesn't have time for... Jokey McJokesteen that doesn't even know how to fucking cut his own hair.
I didn't know you're Jewish.
Yeah, she thinks I'm Jewish.
Jokey McJokesteen, I get it. Now we're going harder than Jews now too, right?
What?
That's not really going harder than Jews.
What?
Okay. They can take it. All right. Okay.
So McAllister.
So was it for your job, your gig here, the improv?
Yeah, but it was an extra thing. I got hired.
So she works for the improv.
Corporate. No, we're a bigger company than just the improv, and it's. I mean, I went to the new corporate offices. They have the entire floor of this building.
They also own Planned.
But I mean, they have hundreds of millions of dollars now to spend. So.
Okay, so McAllister.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they're hiring. You know, they're doing things corporate.
No, McAllister.
Wise. McAllister, I there's a lot of guilt on my part. I don't know if I can accept that money.
It's his way of supporting the program.
I know, but I was thinking we should probably not donate at all, but I was thinking like...
It's perks.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when I used to work for K-Rock, and like if somebody wanted a pair of tickets to something, I could pull a couple strings. It's like that, but a little bit more because he's putting his own money up, but it's like his job. And he's like, you know what?
That's a weird justification for a guy basically handing us $3,000.
He's keeping his original bet. Didn't cost him a dime. He wouldn't have made the bet if it wasn't from... You should be wanting to give... If anything, you should be wanting to give me a bigger cut because it was my team. It was me who made the call to make the bet.
I know, but as the voters have spoken, I'm the one that doesn't leave the show. So I should probably get a bigger cut.
Oh, because you shouldn't be voted off? We need to do a new poll because that hurt me. That's hurtful. I tried to play it off, but it's very hurtful.
There's no way. Why would you even set that scenario
you guys
up?
You keep going back to it. Now I'm going to... Because
I was drinking a lot of wine and I was just going...
You know,
I was on fire on Twitter.
What may have slanted it is if Lourdes was voting over multiple times.
Can you vote multiple times?
Who's the person
can
that doesn't once. Care for you?
Tanya Kruger.
I meant Tanya. Tanya. I'm sorry, Lourdes.
I don't think Lourdes is my biggest fan.
I understand it. Everyone loves Mike. Everybody loves Mike. Yeah, Mike is
not
everybody.
How do you not love Jokey McJokesteen?
Jokey McJokesteen, he's a very lovable character. And everyone who's on the old internets over there, they love Ty Ty because he's the one interacting. And I'm kind of left out in the cold over here. I get it. I'll walk off this fucking roof. You guys can do a show by yourselves.
We know you will.
How bad would that girl have felt who opened the gate, who opened the door for us, if we all jumped off this roof and killed ourselves?
Tyler, that's very dark. Not in light of
what's happening. If the door's locked?
Because she's like, yeah, no problem. Like, she enabled it.
What if we witness a prowler from up here?
Like the car? Like those really horrible...
Yeah, Plymouth Prowler. Yeah. Piece of shit.
Stupid.
Yeah, what if we witnessed one?
What if we witnessed it?
So I'm in the nursery, right? Yeah. I told you guys I was painting it last week.
What kind of plants you got in there?
No, it's not that kind of nursery, Tyler. Oh. It's for my son. Oh. For my son who's on his way. And
Son's not even here yet.
Playing the punk rock, right? So I'm having all the flashback. I forgot to tell you guys the best part. Okay, so my neighbor who we never hear them. We never hear our neighbors. I'm never in that back room. It's
next
like the spare room.
Immediately?
Yes. And
they're on the front with signs to say, I hate babies.
Where the guys with the motorcycles.
It's where the guys with the motorcycles from Boston used to live. And I've learned something recently from that house, kind of off topic, but it sucks if you live next to like party people because they always like want to party, like when I was living with the Boston people. And then you see like nerdy kids moving in next door and you're like, oh, it's just a family with nerdy like high school kids. No problem at all. Here's the problem. Nerdy kids sometimes are band kids. And that means band kids like to practice their horrible drums all times of the day, their horrible flutes, playing clarinets off key all times of the day. I'd rather hear a party next door than these horrible instruments being played poorly. You doing the headphones finally? So I'm in there painting, and it's hot, and I'm a big guy. And I used to have a lot of hair just last week and a big beard, and I'm on a ladder, and I got to tape up the windows, right? I'm masking the room off.
Yeah.
And as I pull up the blinds, I'm like, they're never outside, and they're having a fucking pool party with a bunch of like 8-year-old little kids in the pool, and the window is like overlooking their backyard. It's close proximity too, so I'm facing them kind of on a ladder, sweating, bearded, got my shirt off.
Oh, no.
And they just, and I'm seeing the parents, and they keep kind of like looking over at me, but I'm trying not to even look in that direction. And then I noticed that all the kids, they're out of the pool. They pulled the kids out of the pool.
Oh, no.
And I'm pretty sure it's because sweaty, weird, shirtless, bearded neighbor was sweaty, and they couldn't tell what I was doing.
In a way, this is good.
And like the
were
tape,
you vigorously mixing the paint too.
The tape got stuck on the
mixing the paint.
The masking tape got stuck, and I was trying to yank it. And I was going back and forth.
Yeah.
And I was looking up, and I'm like, "Oh!"
And then some white paint squirted on the window. It's like straight out of Something About Mary. You know what? You can easily diffuse this entire situation
just
by walking over there and going, "Excuse me, I'm painting the nursery for my new child. Do you have any?" Young kids I can molest and then run away.
Do you have any young children that can help me?
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking for sort of like a Tom Sawyer kind of situation here.
Yeah, only totally different. Because I'm a, what's it called when you have to register?
Registered sex offender.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, we're getting close.
What?
To a point where there's so many of them.
I thought you were going to say we're getting close to having to register.
He was so defensive.
Like, I'm moving then. I'm moving.
So defensive.
I'm not registering just because of this podcast.
Where like certain neighborhoods where there's more of them than there's not, you got to go door to door.
That hard to believe.
I am not a
when there's not. A we're getting close.
That's close. We're getting very close to that.
Is that marshmallow vape? What's happening?
It broke.
There?
Holy
shit!
It didn't break. I held it down for a long time by mistake. I was getting so excited telling about the how my neighbors now think that I'm a registered sex offender. That I held the button down and it burned all the juices.
Oh, it smelled like marshmallows. That smelled good. Yeah. It
smells awful to me.
We should
cook
marshmallows
like
up here and then burn the club down by accident.
We have an anti-ad in the Destination Disaster. First ever Destination Disaster anti-ad. Pretty good.
Try to guess what it was for. Should I not? Should I just wait?
Don't even guess. Yeah, don't even guess. But here's the funny part. So I did cinematics yesterday, right out of the old Cold Cockle Studios there.
Cinematic, talking about wrestling 24/7.
So Greg Srizavasi and we did an entire show. And
he didn't say his name right.
It was done. No one ever does. And we did Tickled, by the way. Tickled, documentary Tickled.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Got
good,
to check it
good,
out.
Good, I'm glad.
So
I've
good.
Seen the previews on it twice.
Have you?
What is it?
Yeah.
Are they pushing it hard?
The preview is very intriguing because the guy goes.
I talked to you about it on Cinematics, and I know some people have already heard about it because they've emailed me about it. And people have already emailed me about this before I even reviewed it, saying you got to watch this, and it's not even out yet. So it's rare that like multiple listeners are alerting me to a movie.
One more time, what is it?
A writer,
I'm about to tell you,
a gay writer for a newspaper discovers there's online tickling competitions. And it
he's from New Zealand, and like he's got like a little bit of a personality down there. People know him and follow him and follow his stuff, and he makes a living being a journalist.
And he writes them and says, I want to come out and do an article on you or a movie on you. And they said, we don't really support the homosexual lifestyle.
The email comes back. It's just scathing with hate speech.
And no. And then he goes, that's weird because when I watch this, it looks pretty gay.
And here's the thing.
Really gay.
It looks really gay, and it's very uncomfortable while watching it. Not because it looks gay. It just seems, especially because of the circumstances that are set up, and you're watching these young guys tickling each other who don't know each other, and they're kind of put in this position to do so.
Like, you'll sit on some guy's chest and tickle him, and people are watching, and they sell the videos online, and it may or may not be a sexual fetish thing. And from the trailer, and I haven't seen the movie, it's absolutely for people to sit around and jerk off.
So that all sounds intriguing and interesting, right? Here's the best part.
None of it really does.
It kind
of
does. It kind of like, but
from
why?
From an outsider standpoint.
What takes place afterwards, what he uncovers, most journalists would be like, I'm not going to deal with that. It's all the way on the other side of the world. And, you know, I don't need to deal with somebody so filled with hate. But he's like, him and his buddy, who they co-directed this movie, they're like, interesting. Let's go figure out what these guys are all about. So they start to investigate, and things keep getting uncovered and uncovered. And it's just, it's very entertaining and interesting and intriguing. And
did
I
you go to
it.
A screening, or is it available now? Is it in theaters?
I got a link to it. It's going to be on this Friday. It's released.
Because I want to go see it now.
It's really good.
Better than...
it'll probably be as fun in the more fun in the theater.
Penis?
It's as good as Penis.
What?
What's that documentary? Wiener.
The Final Member?
Wiener.
Oh. There is a documentary about Wiener. It's called The Final Member. It's really good. It's really good. But no, Wiener, very different movies. I think I enjoyed Wiener a little bit more, but I was more impressed with...
I can't wait to have that drop.
I was... but I was more impressed with...
I like pussy, but I think I enjoyed Wiener better.
Wiener,
I'm just saying.
Wiener was very funny.
The steak was good. The bread was great.
It's not often in a documentary you hear the documentarian saying, why did you let me film this? To its subject. Wiener.
Yeah, I got
to
go see them both now.
Yeah, dude, they're good. But you know what? They're both going to be available on Netflix probably in 2 months in the world we fucking live in.
In the world we fuck and live in?
it's true. True statement right
there. Everything.
I just said a true statement. We fuck and we live in it.
Yep. And we fucking live in it.
Guys, I got nothing.
No, you do. You got a lot. You got a lot.
I'm sorry. Back to the dog, but I got to finish the thought because I almost forgot. Okay, here. So I had to do a little VO, a little voiceover work, right, for our anti-ad. And I realized... I should just do it after Cinematics. We have professional gear, and we can do it, and I've got microphones, and it'll be all set up. So poor Greg, the show's over. And
Sir Stevosti.
But we still have to do our YouTube clip, because we do a YouTube video now every week for a 3-minute, it's called 180 Seconds or Less, and we
sounds
do a
awful.
Movie. And yeah, it is awful. And less than 180 seconds. And I have a little kitchen timer, and when it goes off, we have to shut up. And it's analog, so it's not very accurate.
An egg timer?
Yeah, and it freaks. We've done it 2 weeks now, and it freaks me the fuck out. Like I jump. It's really.
Why are they called egg timers?
Because it's for putting eggs in
2 minutes
boiling water.
Two minutes.
You want a very very. What?
Why
2 minutes?
It's called a 2-minute timer. Yeah.
I boil my eggs for like 6 minutes, and they're still running in the middle.
The egg timer is timed so the egg comes out perfectly every single time.
Depends on how you like it. What if you like? A little?
What about the Greg timer?
So I got a 2-minute read that I got to do probably right and. The wife's already home. Jillian already came home, so she's in the back. And I'm like, Greg, I got to do this little VO thing here. And I'm doing my stupid, wacky voice, right?
Greg timer.
And Greg, why is it a Greg timer?
Because it's with Greg. Sir's buddies.
Because it rhymes with egg?
Yeah. Don't read into it.
So poor Greg,
nothing there.
Who's a really sweet guy. I love Greg. I've known him for a long, long time. He's about to get up. And I'm like, you don't want to go out there. I didn't want him kind of wandering around like in my house, like not knowing what to do either.
Yeah, leaving the door open.
I'm like, why don't you just sit in front of me right here and I'll just knock this out, not thinking about how weird it was going to be.
Yeah.
And he gave me the exact reaction that I give to people when they sing to me.
Oh, who sings to you? That's weird.
Rotund?
People sing to me.
Who else sings to you?
Sometimes people will sing, like at camp. They'll be like, hey, you want to hear a good song? Oh, that one horrible guy that is like, hey, I'm a rapper. You want to hear it?
I'm like, You can't say no? Do I want to hear your rap? No.
So the poor guy sat there as I was like.
Do I want to hear the sound of a child getting chomped on by an alligator?
Let's not talk about that. It's so fucked up.
It's so fucked up because those parents.
You know why? They killed 5 alligators and slipped.
That's not why it's fucked up. It's fucked up because parents had their baby pulled into the water by a fucking gator and completely ruined their Disney vacation.
Oh, you know why? Because I'm just putting this together. They're saying that the gators are more active right now because it's mating season, and they're probably just saw it as a threat because they didn't eat it. They just drowned the kid.
Ugh.
Can you imagine going to Disneyland, Disney World with two kids and then going home because they were from Nebraska? Yeah. Why are we talking about this?
Do you think you get a refund on the ticket?
Tyler, why are you being so callous? Is this like something I have to look forward to?
Yeah, that's weird that you're being callous when you have a baby.
It's because I have a kid. I'm allowed to.
Probably going
to
get eaten by an alligator.
Oh, it's kind of like being like racist. Like if you're black, you're allowed to like say
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that's pretty. I want to have
a kid.
Dude,
a whole
now,
world
so
of croc comedy is waiting for you.
Hey, I can't come over right now. My brother was killed. I'm like, ha, 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 that's hilarious. I can say that. My sister was killed.
Well, not like I don't think Tyler would be saying this directly to the Nebraskan parents.
I can make fun of your baby because I have a baby. Yeah. And they're like, okay, I get the joke now. Thanks. And everyone just sobs.
All right, so what I'm hearing right now is very odd. You would have never seen this coming, but Michael is pretty much admonishing Tyler for being callous.
Well, it's my newfound empathy for people.
Mm-hmm. Jillian said that she saw you commenting and stuff about the Orlando shooting.
Nope.
And that you were being very sweet.
No, she didn't see me say it, do that because I didn't comment at all.
Hmm.
No, she said she saw something.
Oh, she's right.
Yes. I heard him saying that. I heard him saying that before he said it.
I didn't comment. I decided not to comment on all that stuff because who gives a shit what I say?
You know what bothers me with that stuff, and it always has, and maybe you guys have an answer for it?
Yeah.
But, like, you will hear what, like, leaders have to say about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are they going to say that everyone's not already thinking?
Yeah.
Like, I like Obama's fine, but I don't really need to hear what he's saying or what the Pope is saying about
this horrific fucking tragedy. I don't care what Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton says about this. Yeah.
Donald Trump's a different thing because he is going to say something stupid, and he did, and he tries to make it, you know, about him and his what he's doing.
Appreciate the congrats.
He made it all about, you know, we got to crack down on Muslims, pretty much. And his comment was, if Obama doesn't call this radical Islam, then he needs to immediately resign in disgrace. Can you imagine if Obama actually did that? He's like, I failed to call
my bluff
a radical Islam, so I'm going to resign a few months before
in
I'm already going to be done.
Might I add.
And I am I'm disgraced.
Yeah, what a whack job.
But like to hear, like, coming up next, we'll hear what the president has to say about the tragedy in Orlando.
Yeah.
And then he just comes out and he says it's a tragedy. The whole country's thinking of you.
If I were in his shoes, I would hire my
praying
team of
family.
Writers. I'd go get in here and come up with something totally unique for me to say because I'm not going out there and saying the same old stuff.
I think I'm an Obama fan. I've never really thought about
it
before.
I am.
But like he was talking about how like he's not allowed to, and I don't want to get political. All right? But I'm going to right here for a second. Did you hear his comeback with the whole, like, not calling him Islamic?
Radicalism.
Which I get. I see both sides.
Was it the comment where he said, I've gone over this before?
Was it the comment where he said, I'm actually a Muslim and I was born in Kenya?
No, it was more along the lines of,
I fooled you guys, suckers.
Do people think we're confused?
El Presidente.
Do people think that we're having and we don't know who we're going after? I think all the people who we've taken out have a very good idea.
I do really like.
We know what we're doing.
I do really like a grumpy Obama.
Oh yeah,
he's
way better.
When he's fed up with things.
Oh, when he was
fed up, Obama
better,
is good.
When he was running for president the first time 8 years ago. That was 8 years ago now.
Yeah,
that is horrific.
God, I wish I could have that time back.
But I remember he was trying to eat some waffles or something, and like the press was like in his face, and he's like, "Can I just eat my waffles? Can't I just sit over here and eat my waffles?"
Why would he eat in a crowded room with the press?
He was stumping.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I forgot. I forgot how it works. You're not in the White House, then you're in the White House.
He needs to stop with the mic dropping, though, because that needs to
he
stop.
Did it
we haven't
once?
Talked about yes. this, Anderson. Since you've railed against mic dropping, my show has a new segment called Drop the Mic, where people battle rap with James, and then the winner drops the mic, and I think of you being so mad every time.
And everyone's
mad
that
you even just brought it up.
Eats it up with the spoon, right?
Mostly the rapping, not
Do people not realize just how fucking
the spoon
dated
that's
it
been
is?
Dropped.
Nope.
Obama seems so fucking white when he does it.
I know.
Do you think there's any cool black guy out there that would think of doing that now?
Kevin Hart did it tonight.
Yeah, it's a cool black guy.
I would say he qualifies for a lot of people as
he's
a cool,
cool
black guy.
He's not cool. He's not cool. What's the equivalent white comedian to Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart.
Carrot Top.
I would say John Lovitz.
I like Kevin
talking
Hart.
Size? Or are we talking?
No, I'm saying, like, what's a white equivalent to Kevin Hart in the comedic world? Oh, David Spade.
No, Spade.
That's a Kevin Hart right there. He's in everything.
Don't talk about Saint Spade to Mike.
I like Spade a lot.
I know you do.
Spade makes me laugh as much as any comic does, and I like Kevin Hart
numerous times
as a person.
Is that a telling comment, Mike?
No, I like him as a person. I've only watched his act twice
when
in the past like 5 years.
First, hear about twerking. When was the first time
you were made aware of it?
We
invented it on this show 5 years ago.
When were you first made aware of it? Like,
probably 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, it was probably like when I remember Miley Cyrus.
That's
was
when
doing
I.
It,
that's when
it
I became aware of it.
It was when JLC first became a part of the program, and like there was a lot of twerking talk back then.
Yeah.
All right, I watched a documentary called
Twerkbot
Rise. And it's all about clowning and crumping. Okay. Brian actually made me watch it because we were talking about clowning. We top five clowns for the for our ICP Destination Disaster on the Film Vault a couple weeks ago. And it's from David LaChapelle directed it, and it was released.
The photographer?
Yeah, it's the only movie he's directed. It was released in 2005, and it was shot like in 2002, 2003. They're talking about twerking, and they're doing twerking in that fucking movie. That's how dumb white people are. It took us 13 years.
Well, let's be honest. Take us all this time to catch up with the phenomenon of twerking. It's stupid.
Well,
it's not like ribs. Like, we just discovered how good barbecued ribs are. We're like, it took us 13 years to figure out how good ribs are. Twerking's stupid.
Why'd you have to go with ribs?
Because I'm thinking of something delicious that was invented recently.
Ribs?
I mean, you're going, it took us 13 years to figure out to come up to.
Ribs
jump on the twerking bandwagon. It was always
way
stupid.
Back in the Flintstones. I remember they ordered a side of ribs.
We sure did.
Everyone
can
listen to the episode where we talk about twerking.
I'm just saying that all three white guys sitting on the improv roof right now weren't aware of twerking until about 3 years ago.
If you think about that Flintstones clip, which is in the opening credits, the whole thing is ridiculous.
You know how much animal abuse happens?
There's no drive-ins that serve ribs. That would be a mess in your car.
It was the prehistoric time.
Yeah, that's what's crazy about that, Mike.
It was before
popcorn. They're serving drive-through ribs.
I don't like, if you think about the opening of that, like they find out, like the very open is they find out that work is done by pulling on the fucking bird's tail as hard as it can until it screams out in massive pain. That's how they let everyone know the work day's over.
You know what? If you watch that opening, it's kind of genius.
Do you remember the name of the little boy from the Jetsons?
Yeah. Elroy?
Yeah. Hey.
Is it Elroy?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw something online the other day. I think someone miswrote. They wrote Leroy, and I was like, "That kid's fucking name was Leroy." That makes a lot more sense.
Elroy and Astro.
Yeah, you know the woman who voiced the daughter just died yesterday.
Oh, Alligator.
93 years old.
That seems way too old to play a daughter.
Yeah. How old was she when she did it? Like 40.
How have they not rebooted the Jetsons?
No shit.
I bet whoever owns the rights is just Hanna-Barbera.
I'll tell you, whoever owns the rights and that doesn't let them reboot it, because it seems like they would have been approached hundreds of times to do like a live-action Jetsons.
Like dark, the Dark Knight, like a dark, sinister Jetsons.
Ah, the dark Jetsons.
Then he'd be Leroy.
It seems like they have the same representation. They have the same reps as Bob Seger, because I've been trying to find Bob Seger music online, and it's fucking nowhere. I mean, I know it's somewhere.
What?
iTunes.
Are you saying that
selected songs?
You're pushing against the wind, and you can't find
it? iTunes music. I'm talking about. I don't want the. I don't want to pay for it. No, I'm gonna pay for it. In fact, why am I paying for it? I have Bob Seger's greatest hits at home. Uh-huh. I just don't want to burn the CD to MP3s. And I went, you know what? I'll just go on to my Apple Music and I'll download all the Bob Seger songs I want to hear. And there's not shit diddly on Apple Music with Bob Seger. No, there's like a few selected songs and a couple of live songs. And I that's not what I want.
Moped music.
What's moped music?
It's a catchphrase.
That's not too shabby.
It's not bad. Yeah.
But what kind of music is it?
Costco samples like a motherfucker.
Did you make that up?
Mm-hmm. You're right. I can't find Bob Seger on Google Music. What the fuck?
I know. He's got a stranglehold on it, even though that would be Ted Nugent.
Dan it, dan, 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 dan.
I love to watch you pay. All right, so
that's a good reference too for the eight people that got that Bob Seger joke.
I want to get some Bob Seger music in me now.
I want to create more stuff.
I really like. I have a hunger for it too. I want to get out and get on the open road. I got plenty of time.
As soon as this
until my baby comes.
I got probably another 3-4 hours on the video. It'll be done, and then I can't wait to sink my teeth into the next one. I just have a lot of stuff to do around the house, but I got to beat this fucking heat wave because I can't be working in my box of a house when it's 109 degrees outside. It's supposed to be 126 in Arizona on Tuesday.
That's funny you say that because I'm going to be in Arizona in a week and a half, and I told someone downstairs I'll be out in Tucson in a couple of weeks, and he's like, it's going to be 120, you know, and I'm like, eh?
It's going to be so hot, it's going to be called Threeson because it's like there's three suns.
Can I just paint a picture? So we're sitting on the roof. Tyler's laying on his back, and he looks like he's doing crunches, but he got stuck
because he doesn't want to put his head on the filthy ground.
Tyler, get
where there's
your
pollution. Pollution has been gathering. Bird shit, pollution, whatever other word germs are up here, falling from the sky. They're all on the ground. We're sitting right on them, bringing them home. Mm-hmm. Probably sitting on our beds, laying in bed, putting our head right where our butts were.
And he's staring at his phone,
soaking up all the gross germs
looking for
outside.
Seagram's alcohol to buy. Apparently, Tyler, what are you doing?
Nice.
Why am I looking for Seagram's alcohol?
What are you, Bob Seagram? Who is that?
Bob Seger. Fuck off.
Bob Seger.
I don't really know much about music.
The greatest greatest musical artist
him?
Ever to come out of Detroit.
The height of summer. I never felt that strong.
God, I fucking love Bob Seger.
He can make you real nostalgic for
absolutely.
The America that you never grew up
yeah,
in.
Yeah, and that never existed. Hollywood Hills. Or Hollywood Nights?
Yep.
That's the best.
In those Hollywood nights.
Yep.
No idea.
In those Hollywood Hills.
No clue.
She was looking so right.
She was giving me thrills.
No
Ooh,
idea.
Yeah.
No clue.
What else do you want to sing?
Do you know Bob Seger's
Turn the Page is a killer
they're
one?
All great.
Kathmandu.
Is he still alive?
We've Got Tonight.
Wait, Kathmandu.
Hey. Main Street is a good one.
Oh, my God. Main Street. Is are you kidding me? Against the Wind?
Wait, Kathmandu is Cat Stevens.
Watch Her Strut.
It is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Catman Stevens?
No, it's not because of the name.
Catman does.
Catmandu is by Cat Stevens. He also has an album called Cats in the Cradle, I think. But he didn't sing that
Cats
song.
Cats in the Cradle is Harry Chapin.
I know, but I think he has an album called Cats in the Cradle.
Catmandu is Bob Seger, right?
Yes.
All right, you fucks.
Bob Seger's got like 10 hits that are outstanding songs, and they got too much airplay, so we got burned out on them, but they're still fantastic.
Wow, every Bob Seger song on YouTube is only like a live version. What is Bob doing with his music?
Yeah. He's hoarding it.
He's hoarding it. Is he still alive?
What's his deal?
All right, Tyler.
Sounds terrible.
I feel like I heard that song, but I think it's because Ween covered it once at a live show.
Maybe.
All right. Okay. We might get sued for this Destination Disaster, by the way. There's a couple different things there that could get us in trouble, probably. The after disaster has devolved in us. Just
this is not.
Songs from the 70s. I just got to prove a point here, you fucks.
What are you playing?
Little Kathmandu.
I'm the little Kathman. Look at what I do. I will weave something just for you.
Somebody had a joke.
My version's better.
Some comic had a joke in the 80s. I remember this. It just flashed back to me. I thought it was so great, but it's so stupid. I can't remember his name or I give him credit, but he's like, he was doing knock-knock jokes, and he went, what's in the cat man's litter box?
That's not a knock-knock joke.
I know. I just thought it was so. I remember hearing that, and I was like, oh, that's the best.
Is it Catman Doo-Doo, or is it just Catman?
Tyler.
What? That's obviously the punchline, idiot.
Yeah.
Was it? Was that the punchline?
Yes. What else would it be?
I don't know. I'm distracted with Catman Doo.
I think I'm going to Catman Doo. Chop me some
broken wood. We'll start a fire.
Why are you scoffing at me that we know Like a Rock and Hollywood Hills, but you know this song?
Because this song's great. Listen to that guitar.
Wow, yeah. I did not listen to this.
I do love Cat Stevens.
So do I. Oh, I keep taking it away every time he sings Kathmandu. Fuck, that's all I want to do.
Cat Stevens is great, and one of my favorite television events was that Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert, Chilean Miners benefit with Ozzy, Cat Stevens, and my favorite soul band. Who was it that came out?
Sly and the
Love Train.
Sly and the Family Stone.
Love Train.
Casey JoJo.
Love Train.
Funkadelic.
Parliament.
Funkadelic.
Sly and the Family Stone.
I think I'm going to Catman View.
My version's better.
This song is very angry.
If I ever get out of here, that's what I want to do. Kathmandu.
Is this what was playing in the bar at 48 Hours when they went in and he had to pretend like he was a cop and he threw the shot glass through the mirror? This is the worst episode we've done in a long time.
No.
It is.
We're definitely getting sued since Bob Seger won't let his music be anywhere and we're playing it all over our podcast. We're toast.
I got to say, we probably should be sued after this.
Really for lack of entertainment, not for copyright infringement.
That'll get us some good Patreon support. Bob Seger will throw 20 down.
Should we set like a limit? Like if we get up to a certain amount, we'll promise to do a good show?
A certain amount of money?
Is that a promise we can keep?
Yeah, that's a better question, Mike.
Well, we just keep going. We just keep doing another one until we nail one. Like right now, we go back inside because I didn't feel like the roof was going to really give the right vibe.
Yeah, you didn't like the roof idea.
You're wrong. This is good.
Good vibe.
I don't. Sometimes that attic room gets too claustrophobic.
Mm-hmm. I got to pee soap super bad.
Oh no, really?
Super bad.
Super bad.
So my dogs.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Went on a jailbreak the other day.
They bailed on your house.
Yeah, we've been letting them off the leash in that little backyard area, mm-hmm. and they've been fine.
But we're done doing this. We're past this. Mm. We've moved on. Is he alive still?
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
So they were out there, and then they decided to start chasing each other.
On the roof?
Oh, my God.
No, on the rough.
Yeah, he switched. He doesn't say rough anymore.
Shamed him out of it.
I never did.
Oh, you did.
So, yeah, so they ran out to my front yard with that super busy street, and right. I ran out to the front yard, and they weren't there.
Oh, no.
And Lauren's yelling from up in the balcony. Creepers. She's like, they're down the street. And then people are yelling at me from their cars on the road going, are those your dogs? They're down the street. And so I run down to the corner where I usually meet you guys,
yeah.
and the two dogs are just sitting there like being good dogs waiting to cross, like waiting for the little crosswalk sign to come on.
They don't know how to read the crosswalk sign.
Oh, they're being good dogs waiting to cross.
But they were sitting there, and they're looking at me like, what does this asshole want? I was like, okay, I got to play this with like a really
wait.
Really
wait, they were looking at you. What?
Like, what does this asshole want?
Oh,
it was like if I started to take two more steps towards him, they were gonna be like, "This game's fun. Like, he's following us. Let's go to the park." So
is that where they were going?
Yeah, it's just across the street.
That is horrible.
I'm just playing this in the background so Bob Seger's attorney is like freaking out. Like, is it playing?
I don't think he's going to be freaking out. I think right now he's like most of our listeners. He's on the edge of our seat, wanting to know. Bob Seger's attorney wants to know what happened with the fucking dogs.
What if his attorney is the same one who you did headshots of?
So do you only have one dog now?
No. So I got down on my knees and just said, Farley.
Please, God, help me. And Farley, help my dogs get home safe.
No, he didn't care. The dog, Farley ran up to me, but then Bricks continued to run around in the front yard.
Heard what you said. He got down on his knees and asked God for help. That's good. Sorry.
God did show up in the form of my neighbor who lives next door, and he helped me sort of corral them. Sort of.
All right, so Farley started to come.
Farley came to me, so I picked her up. Mm. And then it was a really awkward time to shake hands with my neighbor who I hadn't seen in a while. It's like, oh, good to see you. While my dog is running around in his front yard on the super busy corner.
And then Lauren's like, the baby's gone. Oh, shit.
Baby's on the other corner.
So then
the Benny Hill theme comes on. You're like,
I chased Bricks into like that little parking structure that's next door to my place where they park their cars. It's like a little outdoor garage.
Yeah.
And I thought I had him cornered.
So he doubled back.
Yeah, he went back. I turned the corner and he's not there. And Lauren yells from the balcony, he's in their house.
He's in the house?
Their house.
Oh.
He gone in my neighbor's house.
Oh, that's great.
And then I just see him bolt back out.
But they owed you a solid since you saved their stroller from getting stolen.
And not those neighbors.
Yeah.
And then he started booking it down the street the other way, and I just started yelling, go inside. And thankfully, he was like, okay, cool.
He listened?
And ran into the backyard and went to the back door.
Wow. That's stress.
So not allowed outside
anymore.
That is
stress.
No, they've been outside again.
Part of you was kind of like,
part of me was...
3% is like, this... It'll be really sad, but it'll be a lot
probably
easier.
Probably was like, it'll be a lot easier with one dog, but...
I like how all of us sort of think the other one's... are going to be a little okay with tragedy. Eh, like 3%, maybe, this is good.
That is a horrifying feeling when you're going towards, it's almost always a dog, and you know that the one wrong move on your behalf could cause the action of this
animal
to jump.
That's why I don't pay attention.
How would Mike handle that situation?
You know how I'd handle it when I ran over that cat.
You go see a movie.
You were with me when we hit a cat.
No, but I mean, if you had a loved animal that was like right on the corner.
Oh, I would fucking, I'd freak out.
And you know, if you ran towards it, it might run into traffic.
Yeah, and I live on a super busy corner for people who
know. I would probably hurl my body over it, and we'd both die.
What if you're like 50 feet away like I was?
I would do the old fireman trick and kick it into traffic.
Oh, you reminded me. Jesus. Yes. Good prompt, Michael.
Cha-ching. Sue somebody for killing my purebred dog that I was going to sell to the president of Guatemala for $2 million.
Why is it pure red? Do we have any AD Vice?
No, but we have a voice.
We got to start taking calls again since we can.
Yeah, no.
Do it just because we can, man.
Sorry. I should have had this ready to go.
What
are we at time-wise?
I'll ask 45:37. Anderson, you have to pee. I recognize that. You can pee on this roof if you want.
No, I don't
want to
do that.
But I'm assuming Tyler cannot do this, but I am fully willing to drive to Las Vegas.
Nope.
On Friday.
Nope.
And we go out there. Uh-huh. We hang out with McAllister.
Yeah.
We have a few drinks because I'm rich now.
So you can handle your sobriety? Yeah.
And we pick up that money.
Mm-hmm.
And we let it ride.
On. I already told him to put it.
Terrible.
He's
terrible.
He's putting it on the Pirates for the World Series.
Not bad.
The 25.
We linger. We keep this bet going for 4 or 5 years. We never see the cash.
Here's the problem with going out to Vegas to hang with McAllister. Is McAllister's going to be
the problem? Is we're going to have too much fun. And we're going to come back to a dull, boring world.
Yeah, Jillian's very anti, and I don't blame her for the idea of us. She thinks it's the dumbest idea for me, anyways, because she knows how I work. So
yeah, tell her I'll keep an eye on you.
And she knows how you work, too.
Yeah, okay.
And McAllister's going to be in Van Nuys this weekend, so it's going to be
what?
Tough. He's going to be out. He's actually coming out to see Tickled and to see his friend.
Okay.
Remember his friend that almost went up to Judd Apatow at your show?
Yes.
To pitch him his screenplay idea? He's coming to see that friend.
He's going
to
do it this time, this weekend?
So you and I should at least try and get together with McAllister.
Okay, absolutely. Let's do it. What day?
Cool. I don't know. I'm going to call him
later
tonight.
Okay, because my Friday tomorrow. I'm going to try to get out of town for the day. I'm not going to do Madonna anything because I did that last weekend.
Mm-hmm. That's
I have a thing to play once you're done.
We're done.
Okay. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to drive Tara to the
airport.
He's going to
wake up at 8 a.m.
Hey, Pabs. This is Garrett calling from Oregon. I'm sending my car outside of my work at Home Depot, and it's 4:40 in the morning. It's one of my last days here.
Oh, no.
And why I'm telling you this is because I'm quitting my job to become a wildland firefighter here in Oregon and around the Pacific Northwest.
Smart. It rains a lot.
My promise to you guys is to keep a tally of how many animals I personally kick back into the fire and how many animals my crew does. Class for wildland firefighting starts on Monday.
Uh-huh.
Now, guys, I'll try to keep you guys posted throughout the experience. Let me know if you guys want to do that, and I'll come back and let you guys know. Love to hear your show. You guys keep me up in the mornings and let me go to bed at night. So I listen to you guys all the time.
Wow, that's a lot.
See ya.
Night and day.
You know what they probably have up there is like a training facility where there's like like stuffed pets.
Like the rabbits that they have on like the dog chase at the dog parks. And they're on fire, though.
He might usher in the age of kicking the animals. Like,
no, okay.
Oh, he starts it?
That's
they trace
the
it back
worst
to us and
scenario.
We get credit for it?
That's Wikipedia? The worst. Because here's my problem right now. Because you know how I love animals, like to a ridiculous level. And the idea of this is so horrific and awful that...
Yes.
They actually kick little burning creatures back into the fire. However, part of my ego really wants me to be right, so it's very vexing.
Yeah. Your worst nightmare, aside from your son getting pulled into the water by an alligator, but your worst nightmare.
Do we have to keep going to that?
Your
horrific well?
Worst nightmare would
that poisoned
be,
well
would be some fucking psychopath comes his actions are made public, and it turns out he's killed like 10,000 sharks, and then he says, I was inspired by this podcast, The After Disaster, when they made a joke about this, and I thought I could put that into action. Like, if we were to make some sort of comment as to how to massively...
That's why it's the worst possible... Not vexing. I'm so conflicted by
I can't explain it
but
well.
No, that's why the worst possible scenario is that he actually does usher this in.
Yeah,
or
and
somebody
then all
does.
Firefighters, like, breaking
the
news,
worst.
We found a way to help
This actually cuts down
animals back into the fire, and then they trace it right back.
But then
to
there's
us.
This: like, what if they do that and they keep the fire line and they kick the animals, the burning ones, back that have burning fur back into the place?
Yep.
What if that ultimately puts out fires earlier than
the animals
it would,
are so
and then it
scared
saves,
they're peeing all over the fire?
It saves other animals. So
yeah, not too bad, not too shabby.
Possibility that it could still be
good for the
many.
Good. Sacrifice a few rabbits for the good of the many rabbits.
Mm-hmm. All
right. Do you kick a cobra back into the fire?
Why are you so obsessed with cobras?
Because they're the scariest living creatures.
Is that
on,
what you think?
Earth?
Is that cause something
one
you saw like on Johnny
one
Quest growing up?
Oh, Johnny Quest.
Maybe.
Where did that
maybe.
Come from?
Snakes. Snakes scare the fuck out
have
of
you
me.
Have you ever held a snake?
I don't think so.
Are you afraid
so.
Of them poisoning you, or are you just creeped out by them? Because like, I have freaked a horrible out. Fear of like bugs, but most of them don't kill you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I was hiking like a week ago, and there was a crowd around a hole in the ground. Adventure. And I've seen many snakes on the trail now. And there was a very large rattlesnake in a hole, and it was taking up all the space of the hole. And that just gave me like the
chills. I don't get that at all with snakes.
You'd rather have a snake go up your butt or down your mouth?
What? That's
a good question.
Butt could bring a limited amount of pleasure, whereas you know you're not going to get any from the mouth. I
you
hate to
you
admit that,
point.
But there's
a
possibility.
I don't think you're going to get any pleasure from the snake.
Yeah, if
hungry,
he moves right,
the snake in your mouth your is going to be is going to at least give you nourishment. You're not going to get any nourishment putting the snake up your butt.
You guys ever hear that story? I used to tell this one all the time. I heard it back when I was in high school, and it was when I actually had the newspaper clipping. It was a real clip. A guy was fishing, and he caught like a 4-inch bluegill. And the story goes, he was so excited about it that he was holding it up, and it slipped out of his hand, flew up. He was like yelling, and it went in his mouth. And now fish, with their gills and their scales and whatnot and their fins, it got lodged in his throat. So he's trying to rip it out, and he couldn't get it out. So he started to asphyxiate. So he jumped in his car and drove to the hospital, and he died on the way to the hospital. He suffocated with the fish stuck in his throat. I ever tell you that story? Apparently not.
Well,
with the look on their faces.
And at the end of the movie, Finn.
Oh, it says Finn, like the Italian and the French versions of art house films?
You know what? Finn. I find that story hard to believe.
I had the newspaper clipping. It's a
but
real
he
thing.
He bought a small fish. He caught a small fish, and he was so excited he had his mouth open.
Like he was like taking a picture, I think. He wasn't the only one. He was with somebody else, and I think that he died in the passenger seat on the way to the but he had
it stuck. Story's changed a lot in the last 18
seconds. Listen, I got
seconds.
It back like 6 years ago when I was in high school is when I first heard it.
6 years ago in high school?
A long time ago. 6 years at least.
I don't know. That's a tough one for me to buy.
It's a true story. I know. Okay, here's I used to scour newspapers for bizarre, crazy stories. And then when I started working for Pharrell, Pharrell sent me some sweet audio of him calling the game, calling the end of the Penguin game.
Like just to himself?
Kind of. Like he did it a few years ago for Stern, and Stern played it on their air of him calling the game at the end of the Penguins' first Stanley Cup win with Crosby. It was great. Yeah. It was glorious. Because he's just, I think he kind of, I told Pharrell a while ago, I approached him with an idea for doing like a hockey play-by-play announcer, because he used to do it for the Atlanta Thrashers.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be R-rated and be like a feed you could tie into, and then you could simulcast it so we could hear like adults calling a game, and it wouldn't have to be all corny and cheesy, and it would be really fun. So,
and boy, is it corny and cheesy, because I listened to the game where they lost on the radio, and I was like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's kind of corny and cheesy. But there's this one player, I'm not going to get into details, but his name was Marian Hossa, and he played for the Penguins. And then they lost to the Red Wings in the Stanley Cup, 2008, right? So Marian Hossa, instead of coming back to the Penguins, try and give it another go.
Went to the Red
Wings. He went to the fucking Red Wings. Infuriating. I hate that fucker forever.
Traitor.
Right, so when Pharrell's calling it and the next year and the Penguins beat the Red Wings, he's just going, yeah, take that, you cunt. Hossa, you fucking cunt, take that. He gets so fired up. So he did it again this year, and he sent it to me. I asked him if he did it, and he sent me a little 5-minute audio. And it's funny because his wife is in the room. She has no idea anything about hockey. She's like, oh, my God, where the goalie go? And then his son is like 5 years old now.
Divorced.
And his son is like, he's like, go get the cup, Connor. Because I guess that they have like a fake Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, Dad, it'll be bad luck. And you hear Pharrell going, oh, God, I can't believe how lame you are, Gunner. It's pretty great.
And he sent it just to
you? Can you buy replicas of the cup?
I think so. He wrote not for air, but.
Because how much do you want one of those babies?
It's big. It takes up a lot of space.
You just drink out of it all the time, like on the couch?
So you can hear him like searching through everything for his cup. For the Stanley Cup. I don't care about any of this stuff.
I think your idea is illegal, though. because you can't
yeah,
you
you're
cannot
right.
disseminate the description of the game without approval from the commissioner's office.
Well, I can tell you, Pharrell went dark when I gave him that idea. He didn't run with it.
Mm.
And then he just sent me a ton of pictures of, like, screen caps of him taking pictures of his TV of the Penguins, like, celebrating and in the locker room. I'm like, why is he sending me this? I'm watching the same fucking thing. I don't know if he was trying to say he was in. Pharrell was the first guy that I ever worked with in radio. He brought me into radio because I was a huge fan of his. And he basically
started this show.
For him, I used to scour. It was the USA Today, and they had, like, every state had the strangest story in the back. And I would, like, highlight the ones that worked, and I would read them on air. It was fun.
Would you use a wacky news voice?
No.
Game 6 in San Jose.
I don't understand. He records this in his living room.
You don't want to bring it up too early. Jinx him.
Oh, that was right there. Okay, here we go.
You got to put it right up to the microphone.
You're that lame.
That was perfect.
Last Sharks trying to score with the empty net. Unbelievable. Now 38 seconds left. Slap shot blocked.
Right for the goal.
Penguins haggling will clear. They don't have enough time to score two goals. The Penguins have won the Stanley Cup. There's 30 seconds left. A whistle.
Why?
They need two goals. They're not going to get it. Gunner, go get the cup. Quick.
Well, that thing's bad luck.
No, it isn't. Quick, McKenna, go get it. Unbelievable, Gunner, that you're that lame.
So now he's running down, like, the basement.
Unbelievable, I go downstairs to get the cup. Pharrell's got the Stanley Cup. You gotta love it. Trying to get everything out. I don't care about all this crap. You gotta bring the Stanley Cup back up.
That's
the end?
No, it goes. It's like 9 minutes long.
I need more. I like that.
That's pretty good.
I think the original one, I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. It's pretty great. They played it on Stern at least once.
He's like Steve-O, but like to the max. With that voice. Gunner.
His kid is like 5 years old. It's so great. Can't believe you're that lame. Pharrell's got the cup.
That's pretty great.
It's unbelievable. Wow, that was good. That gave me life. We got a few listeners into hockey because of our bet.
It's kind
of
sad. Sweet.
A bunch of them were
we opened the show talking about Orlando and about that poor little kid getting killed by the gator.
Oh, that's good. Let's bring it back. We finally got
it. I started thinking about it, and I got sad. I was like, oh, this is that Orlando, what a piece of shit that's turned into. The first that little girl gets killed from The Voice.
That was sad.
Then we got major fucking shooting tragedy. Then we got a baby killed by a gator. What a piece of shit.
Homosexual tur.
Thanks, buddy.
Don't want to bring it up too early. Jinx him. I called a timeout. Now the cup is out.
I love that it's play-by-play of the game and of in his house.
The coach.
Shut up, Gunner.
How's he recording this?
I don't know.
There's no point in supporting him because it's over. The Penguins have won the Stanley Cup. They won it in 6. They get it done in San Jose. The Pittsburgh Penguins win their 4th Stanley Cup in franchise history. Hornquist with the empty netter late with under a minute to go. To make it 3-1, and they'll ice it 3-1 to win in 6 on the road at the tank. And now everyone in San Jose can watch the Penguins skate around with the Stanley Cup. Spit shine your shoes. We're going dancing with Lord Stanley. Unbelievable. Letang's goal made it 2-1. Hornquist, the empty netter, finishes the deal. And the Pittsburgh Penguins have done it again. They've won the Stanley Cup for the 4th time in my lifetime. You gotta love it. I'm going crazy. I'm losing weight. I'm dyspeptic and distraught. I'm gonna have a heart attack. Letang made made it 2-1. They got it done after the Sharks had scored a goal to tie it up. And then nothing in the second. And then in the third, the Penguins played brilliant defensively. And the Sharks, Burns, Jumbo, Marlowe, it's time to shave the beards, boys, and get out the glad bags and pack it up. Season over. Series over. Malkin and Crosby win their second Stanley Cups. Same with Letang. Sullivan takes the Penguins all the way to a championship after taking over midseason. And the Penguins get it done. How about
see the coach?
Kid Murray in goal? He wins his first Stanley Cup. Fleury gets his second. He played in the playoffs for all of about one game. It's unbelievable. They got it done. The Sharks can only stand around and watch as the Penguins celebrate again for the fourth time on the road, winning the Stanley Cup against the North Stars, against the Blackhawks, against Detroit in Game 7 at the Joe in 2009 with Talbot's two goals. And now in San Jose, West Side getting it done on the road. Out in Cali at the Tank, and Sid Crosby and company have won the Stanley Cup. It's a beautiful thing. They're going crazy in the Steel City. In with an orange on a beer, in with an orange on a beer, in with an orange on a beer, in with an orange on a beer.
What was that?
On the South Side.
One of the many things that he used to say on the regular on the show. Impin' an iron.
Impin' an iron?
Impin' an iron. Iron City beer is a beer. And so it's pretty much shot in the beer, shot in the beer, shot in the beer, puke. He used to do the haymaker thing.
It sounded like he was summoning Satan, but I would absolutely listen to him call
the entire
any
game.
Center sport. I'd love to hear him do like curling
because he did it for the Atlanta Thrashers for like 2-3 years. That's how he got fired from the first show that I ever worked on, the show that I produced, the For All on the Bench. He took a job to do play-by-play for the Atlanta Thrashers professionally, right? And he thought he could keep his job.
He didn't tell anybody?
He didn't tell any of his bosses. He told them by going on David Letterman and announcing it. Like, he was wearing, I think just a regular, shirt, and then he ripped it off, and he was wearing the Atlanta Thrashers new jersey underneath. That's how he announced it. Yeah. And it made his bosses very upset.
Why, though?
I can imagine.
We know one of his bosses, his main boss back then. You could see why that made him.
Because he didn't tell him about it?
Yeah. You got to come and ask permission.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. Shit. Because I took a job at the Comedy Store and I didn't tell these people about that.
You can do both.
Oh, Mike's full of regret. His bosses are going to be pissed.
For the fifth time in 4 years, he's almost getting fired.
I can't believe you're so lame.
Go get the car. Burrell's got the cub. He doesn't care about any of this stuff. You can just hear stuff flinging and flying.
All right. So I should drive to Vegas tomorrow and pick up our money.
Well, thanks for listening to the After Disaster, everybody.
Don't go to don't go to Vegas.
I'm not.
Don't go to Vegas.
I'm not. If I go, I'll go on Friday.
Did you watch
fun.
Any of the games at all?
I listened to that one game on the radio.
They lost. I was really hoping it'd be a little different. You guys would actually get invested.
I wish I could remember.
Run.
I wish I could remember.
I know you did.
A couple
did.
Games.
I didn't realize it was so cheesy.
What?
Like the announcers.
Mm. I don't know what you were listening to. I have no
idea.
He was
listening to the radio. Maybe it's different.
I have no idea because it wasn't on any regular radio station out here.
So-and-so skating like a kid in a chocolate factory. So they're dropping like
the... Did you find it on an app?
Off their website, off the Penguins website.
Oh, then you were listening to Mike Ling. Okay, that guy's legendary. You got to kind of figure out what that guy's all about. But he is fucking legendary. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's been doing it for 50 years. He's from San Diego, and he's one of the best at what he does. But he has a bunch, beat him like a rented mule.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what it was.
He has all these catchphrases. Yeah, he has all these catchphrases, and he's probably busting them all out for the big games. But that guy is, he's been fucking tastic. But you really have to know what you're getting into with that.
It was just cheesy.
Hmm. All right. I mean, it could be seen as that as well. Well, Mike Glenn, all right. What are we doing? I don't want to talk about hockey. Let's get off this or I'm going to go pee in the corner.
All right.
Pee in the threat.
We're past the tight hour.
Kind of felt like a threat, yeah.
We're past the tight hour.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
I feel like we didn't really bring it, though.
That'd be
I feel like Pharrell.
I wish everything was better.
Mm. Pharrell's the best. He still does radio out there if anyone enjoys sports talk and you want to look up old Pharrell. He's doing it on CBS somewhere.
Good.
And he's fantastic. He's great. He does his own thing. He goes to the beat of his own drummer. I worked for him for a number of years. He brought me into the radio business.
Yeah. He basically founded the show.
he kind of did. He had plenty of people are kind of responsible for the founding of this show.
Billion people can be held responsible for war crimes.
I don't know, call them war crimes. All right. All right. You guys got anything to plug?
Nope.
For the Patreon people, you should have the Insane Clown Posse Destination Disaster, which I think is very fun, by probably within a couple days from hearing this.
That's great.
And what else?
Thumb drives are. I know. I always say they're almost done. They're like they're done. I just have to. I'm slightly over 16 gigs, so I gotta decide which episodes to compress. I think I'm gonna compress the most recent episodes that you can still easily get on iTunes.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
The older ones are.
Thanks
are
for doing
larger,
all that, Ty.
So
yeah,
and
that's
then
a lot
what
of work.
Are we gonna send those out like
just mail
one by one?
Yep.
Hail them. Okay.
One so, by and one and two.
We
by
owe
two.
Four or five of you a mug, which we're gonna get on that very soon. I'm saying that we should probably get together next week.
Go get the mug.
And there's actually three spots open on the old the top of the Patreon there. If you do want to get a mug, while we're going to get the mug paint
probably
out,
probably take us like 6 months to get it to you.
Yeah,
no, it won't. We're going to hopefully do it next week. So yeah, good stuff's coming, and hopefully we don't do it on the roof, and I don't have to pee, and I'm not cold. But what are we kissing for? It's not over. We got another half hour.
Oh, well, yeah, then you're
Jesus
doing
Jesus Christ, that was weird.
Hmm. What? I'll do it without you?
Yeah, I gotta go.
What do you gotta go to?
Home.
Why?
Got a baby.
Yes, I got a pregnant wife.
Hmm.
I have nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was very sad.
That was sad.
All right, settle in and take care of our friend Mike.
The truth is sad.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mike, I don't like what you're doing. I know this is not a visual podcast, but Mike is holding his head. And he has been for like, I'd say, the last 15 minutes.
I know, this is work.
He's holding his headphone
Jesus
up.
Christ.
Like,
why am I doing that?
I'm like in a van doing surveillance. Why were you doing that?
I don't know. I don't know. It was hurting on both ears, so I just thought I'll just do one, and it wouldn't stay, so I just went, I'll just hold
Where
it
are
here
we
like
peeing?
This. All right, let's go pee.
Okay.
Some people don't like the kisses.
But 30 more minutes. Yeah, there's no winning. We're fucked on that one. Because half love, half hate.
Love? People love that?
People love the kissing.
Okay.
We should do some tongue. Mm.
That's what I was going to say. That would be like a happy medium. You can't hear the tongue, but just know it's there, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, stop it! Oh, no. Here, let me...
Someone else has got to hit it because I can't see.
Stop,
oh.
right?
Stop. Oh, yeah, I guess stop.
Just don't hit the trash button.